morning.
My voice is a little better, and there's a reason for it, but I'll tell you that later. This sermon was prepared before today. I was going to speak about this subject even before this Bible study. And I want you first to turn to Isaiah, the 28th chapter. I've heard a lot of things today. I've heard a lot of things in the last several years. And I've come to the conclusion, if we all have to agree on everything, there's not a person in this room who'll be in the kingdom of God. I want to repeat that. If we have to agree on everything, nobody's going to be in the kingdom of God, because I don't think there's anybody in that room, including myself, that knows all truth. Now, if you think you know all truth, I'd be glad to meet with you after the service, because I've got some questions I have to ask. I studied the Bible, and I was in Worldwide Church of God many years ago. I'm in my 83rd year, and God hasn't seemed to take me home yet, because he knows that I'm still got a lot of rough edges. I haven't overcome yet. One of these days, he's going to decide to take me home, and that home is going to be in the grave until he returns. I've always wanted to live until he returns, and I wanted to live physically. But the older I get, and the thing that's going on tells me, well, Charles, maybe you're going to have to spend some time in the place of safety, which is 6 feet under. Well, that's a place of safety for a lot of people, for my wife, my oldest son, and for a lot of people that I know that have died. But died in the faith. And I want to repeat something again. If everybody in this room has to agree on everything, there's not one person in here that's going to be in the kingdom of God. If it comes down to that, and it doesn't. Because, you see, Peter didn't agree with what Christ was doing. All you got to do is go back and read it. Peter thought he was, you know, he had all the answers. And that's like a lot of us. We have all the answers. I've got all the answers, and I don't need anything else. I got news for you. We do need something else. We need the character that Jesus Christ had when he laid down his life for us. That's a character that some of us in this room are going to have to face. Because I believe we're in the end time. And I believe before it's over with, that what we see going on financially in this world is going to affect everybody in this room. Mark has gone through some stuff about buying canned goods. I do, and I buy a little of it. Because I know it's going to be cheaper now than it is 6 months from now. I told my sister-in-law, who lives in Panama City, and she's never bought it because she doesn't believe there's going to be anything come up that will prevent her from being able to eat. Well, we come to the Sabbath service for what reason? To get some spiritual food. That's why we come. That's why I come. And I see these kids here, which are very patient. They're minding their mothers and fathers. Sometimes we set them set down so long that they get tired. We had one boy yesterday the day before that I had to correct in front of me, and the only reason I had to because he was getting tired and restless of sitting in that position. Now, we adults can take it, and we sit in these hard chairs. And these hard chairs, to me, are too low. They need to be higher because it's hard for me to get out of them. Now, they're good for the kids and guys like Marcel here. How do we interpret the Bible? A lot of people get into word studies. And I want to talk about word studies just a little bit. Because word studies will get you in trouble every time. You got to go to the book of Isaiah and look at what it says in this 28th chapter. And he says in verse 9 of Isaiah 20, well, whom I teach knowledge? And it's a question. And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Now, what does that mean to you? We should go back and check the Apostle Paul, because he had people that just weaned from milk that was trying to tell him what to do. A lot of them. They thought they knew it all. There was time for them to be teachers. And they all wanted to be teachers. Just like today. It hasn't changed a bit. Just when he's about dust drawn from the breast, you know, is it somebody can get up and start going through the scriptures and just open the book? The answer is no. Just spend some time. For precept must be an own precept. That's the way you study the Bible, precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. I prepared this sermon a long time before yesterday or today. And I've given part of this sermon before. Because I see people arguing about things that has nothing to do with your salvation. You hear what I just said? It has nothing to do with your salvation. You either have the Spirit of God indwelling or you don't. It comes down to that. I see people that are trying to get them a block, we used to call them. Ted Armstrong made a comment about me one day when he read some of my writings. Hell, he's trying to get him a following. You know, I wasn't trying to get a following. I was trying to talk about something that I have studied. And I'm not going to talk about that today. That's another subject, because you wouldn't believe me anyway. We'd all say, you're the same as the rest of us. That's true. But we can go through the scriptures in the correct way. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But precept will be on precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Verse 11, forward stammering lips and another tongue. How about that? He will speak to his people. To whom should he say, this is the rest of which you have, which you, with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the repression, yet they would not hear, but the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon line, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go back. Notice what it said, that they might go back and fall backwards and be broken and snared and caught. That's why he put it that way. Does God expect every one of us in here to agree on every little scripture? If you think so, I want you to talk to me after the service, not now, because I'm going to make this a short sermon today. I'm going to make it short because I have been very sick, and I'm about to get over it. But my voice is going. But it's going to be a short sermon, because what I have to say can be said in very few words. I want to go now to Matthew 19. I'm not going to go through everything that I've got down here, because that'd be an hour and a half. I'm not going to do those children that way. Matthew 19. And I want to start in verse 13. And then the little children were brought to him, and that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked him. Talking about little children like we've got in this room, brother. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, as you do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Why? They're teachable. Are we still teachable? Or do we have our own thing made up that this is the way it is, and we're not going to change for nobody, because I've got all truth? I don't have all truth, and there's not a person in this room that does. And I make that and know that that's true. Because if you had all truth, I think God would have taken you a long time ago and not put you through the mess we've got today. I don't think agenda. Herb Zelensky back there is about as close as anybody that I know. Because he went through the calendar years ago and convinced a lot of us he was correct. And I've been with him in other places where people didn't believe what he was saying and they hated him. One particular guy canceled the meeting because he was talking about the camera and he couldn't believe what he said. That was a Bible study and teaching. That's different than somebody standing up and saying, this is what it is and you've got to believe me. Herb Zelensky is a fine man. He laid his hands on them and departed from them. But Heron came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
Logical question. Yes.
What good things do we have to do to have eternal life? He said, why do you call me good? No one is good, but one is, that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. I just said, and I read there, keep the commandments. What are those commandments? There's a ten. There's a song that I think Mark and the kids play about the ten. That's what he's talking about, the Ten Commandments. Listen to what this man says. And he said, which ones? Because the man did ask him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, but you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall live, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And because the Sabbath day is not mentioned there, there's people that will tell you the Sabbath day is done away with, and they will turn to their scripture. You know, you can prove anything by the Bible if you want to. You can prove, I guess, that Sunday's the Sabbath. I can't do it, but some people try to. Because they say nothing good ever happens on the Sabbath. It's always happened on the first day of the week. The young man said, all these things I have kept from my youth, what shall I do with the life? And he said, here's the key. And remember this. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor. You know, there is something you can do to help people in trouble and help them eat. What would you do in 19, you know, I grew up in the 20s, and I remember the Great Depression, and that's what we called it. I remember people, if you've ever seen the movie Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck, that is a true story. We had people come up and knock on the door. We moved from Texas to Bisbee, and in 1932, we moved to 31, we moved to Phoenix, Arizona. I grew up in Phoenix. And those, we lived right on Highway 80, which was a direct shot into California. And they would pull up to the door in those old T-Model Ford trucks, loaded down with bedding, and one of them had a dog pen on the side, because they're taking their dog with them. And they would come up and knock on the door and say, one particular one I remember, ma'am, my grandmother or my mother's out there, this man must have been in his 50s, my mother's back there and she don't have any teeth. If you've got any light bread that we can give grandma to eat, we'd be glad to come and chop wood or do whatever you need to do. She didn't make them do that, she'd give them the food. I see one time, and we lived in another place before we went to that one, there was a man that come and knocked on the door and wanted some food. Well, my dad built the first ice cream machine in Phoenix, Arizona. My dad was good about that. And they did it with Brian. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not. That's how they froze it. And we had these ice cream cups they use now for Chinese places. Put food in them. And my mother had some of those. This guy come up and knocked on the door and asked for some food. And she filled it up for him. But she didn't trust him. She thought maybe, well, he was bumming and he really wanted money or something. So she had me, and I'm about 7 years old, almost eight. And she said, James, go check that guy out. He's right up here, and if he's eating that food, I went back up there, and I said, Mom, he's eating with everything he's got. He was hungry. You know, will you feed the hungry? Or will you try to preach him a sermon about why they're they are converted or not. What's Christ saying here? Sell what you have and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Now, that was too much for the man. He couldn't do that because it was sorrowful. Maybe he had great possessions. That's the problem. We get great possessions. We think we're better than everybody else. How much money are we going to have when Christ returns? How good is it going to be? I know there's a scripture in the Old Testament that talks about they will throw the gold in the streets because you can't eat gold. Now, a lot of people are hoarding gold. You can't eat it. The dollar is going to go down. I can guarantee you it's going down. My wife used to tell me, because after going through that depression, I was looking for the second depression. I'm still looking for it. I know it's coming. But what are we going to do? Turn people away at the door and not feed them? God forbid. God forbid that God's people are going to be helping one another, and they're going to be helping strangers. I hope you understand what I'm getting at here. We all claim to know the truth, and we want to argue about little bitty things. We argue about things that really doesn't matter. I've heard every expression today about Passover. If we all have to keep Passover the same, there ain't a person in this room going to be in the kingdom of God. But we make that deal. You know, Mark and I have been together for a long time. Mark and I disagree on some subjects. But we're not disagreeable. A lot of people think they have all truth. I don't have all truth. I'll bet you he has heard back there. He tell you he doesn't have all truth. So why do we think we're better than everybody else? Why do we have to make everybody believe exactly as we do? I want you all to think about what I'm saying. You know, let's go now, and I'm going to cut this thing short. I can't give it all. I want to go through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but I'm going to go first to John's, the 6th chapter. John 6. You can go back and start reading in verse 32. I'm going to cut it short. In fact, you can go back further than that. Read this whole chapter. The Jews then, in verse 11, complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I have come down from heaven? Everybody that doesn't agree with you, do you put them down? Jesus was telling the truth here. He did come down from heaven, but those Jews didn't believe him. People want to believe what they want to believe, and they want everybody else to believe what they believe. Jesus made it plain here. I have come down from heaven. Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. I've known that scripture since I was 4 years old. Because I watched those primitive Baptists that my mother's church belonged to down in Texas, because I was born in Texas. And I watched them wash feet. I'll never forget seeing them wash feet and singing Amazing Grace. Those Baptists knew this scripture. They knew that scripture. That's why they argued with the Church of Christ or Carmelites. About why you go teach the world. You go teach the world because if you don't teach them, they're going to come in a bath of burning hell, because that's what these Sunday churches do. Not all of them. Some of them know the truth about it. I asked my mother, because they knew the scripture and I knew that. I asked my mother, because I didn't learn the Sabbath day from Herbert W. Armstrong or Garner Ted Armstrong. I learned it from my wife. My wife had spent the summer when she was 15 years old with some Seventh-day Adventists. They washed, they took gluten, they had a washing machine just for that purpose. They would take 100 pound sack of gluten, of flour, and put it in there and wash all it up until they got the gluten. They made gluten cakes. When Aileen and I got married, I asked my mother, because my wife talked to me about it,
I asked my mother, you know, those primitive Baptists knew a lot of the truth. Why didn't they keep the Sabbath? Her answer shocked me. She said, we know that Saturday's the Sabbath, but Sunday is the law of the land. Have you ever been in Texas on the blue laws? You'll understand where she was coming from. Because they shut everything down on Sunday. Even when I lived there in the 60s, 1960s in El Paso, you could not open, you either had to close on Saturday or close on Sunday with a big discount place, or you'd be out of business. The state law forbid you had to close one of those 2 days. Now this one outfit out of Carnal, California, defeated that because they took them to court. And how they defeated that was this way. They changed corporations at the end of Saturday night, and they had a new corporation, different name, that took over Sunday. You know, if you get, your lawyers can think of anything. Well, the lawyers can think of anything, just like the Church of God can think of anything. You know, we have to be so critical of what everybody else believes. And I tell you right now, there are two perfect people in this room that agrees on everything. Someday we will. Someday Jesus is going to return and straighten it out. You can go through Matthew 5. I'm going to go there and talk about a little bit about it in Matthew 5. I'm almost through. And I want to start in verse 38 of Matthew 5. You have heard it, that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, resist not an evil person.
Do we resist evil people?
Somebody comes up to you with a strange doctrine that you don't believe and tell you Sunday. I have Mormons knock on the door, and I was raised with a bunch of Mormons. I have the Church of Christ knock on the door, and I always, if they want me to take a booklet, I'll say, fine, I'll take it, but I want to give you a booklet in return. You understand? If they want to give me a booklet, I'll take it, all right, but I have to be able to give them the booklet in return. Anyone who wants to sue you at the law and take away your food, let him have your cloak also. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Whoever compels you to go a mile, go with him the two. Now, we all know, most of them ever know that they had a mail route, that they would catch people and make them walk a mile in Jesus' day. Give to him who asks, and from him who wants to borrow from you, turn not away. I read that scripture 35 years ago in a church, and had a guy come up after and said, hey, that's not right. You're misinterpreting that. No, I said, no, what does it say?
What does it say?
Well, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And Christ said, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. How do we fall on that? As individuals, how do we fall? Do we curse those who curse us, or do we try to set a kind example as Christ would do? I'm afraid that we all fall short on that one, including myself. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons, here's your reward, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? I know people whose families won't even talk to one another. I went into one of my brother's towns, and his boy wanted to go to church with us that Sabbath up in Newfoundland Springs, Florida. And he did not want God to be said in his house. I would question. I relented to that. But his son wouldn't. He wanted to talk about it. My brother, who has an awful temper, got mad. And he got on his son and he tried to get on me. I went out the door. Because I'm not going to argue with somebody that doesn't understand that there's a God. And he doesn't understand there's a God. And if there's a God, he had to give us something we had to live by. And if you greet your brethren only, what more do you do others? Do not even the tax collector do the same? How do you do when you go into a grocery store or a Walmart? Do you put your nose in the air, or do you speak to everybody that you come close to? What I do, I speak to everybody and I ask like this: good morning, madam, or good morning, sir, or good afternoon. How are you today? They have to give you a response when you ask that. They'll say, fine, how are you? And I'll say, fine. At 39, I'm doing okay. That's my usual response. People look at me and they say, how old are you? And I said, how old do you think I am? I get anywhere from 65 to 68 because of the black hair. I got the black hair from my grandmother. And I will die with mostly black hair. I have a few gray hairs in my head. But I inherited that. Most of my family is redheaded. They came from Scotland back in 1668. John Kimbrough did. And there's people in this country that I'm related to that are black. I said I was related to that are black. There's people in this country that spell their name K-I-M-B-R-O. And we spell it and put the O-G-H on the end of it because that's the original spelling. My dad used to say, because he had a person there in Phoenix, Arizona, him and my dad looked exactly alike. But he spelled it K-I-M-B-R-O. My dad used to tease him. He'd say, well, his family got caught stealing hogs and they had to change their name. You know, you think about it. You can go by word study and you can get out on that field. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. They go on. Why are we doing this? If you beat your brethren only one more, do not even the tackler do this. Therefore you shall be perfect. Get that, as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know, God is not judging the world today. He has left that judgment up to Jesus the Christ. Now a lot of people don't like the word Jesus. And that's fine. I know his mother did not call him Jesus. I believe that it was Yeshua HaMashiach, which interpreted means Jesus the Christ. We don't have to pronounce it that way. I don't pronounce it that way. I know that God hears when we're talking about his son, that it's not the language we speak in. It's how we are. If we have God's Holy Spirit, we're going to treat others better than we do if we don't have God's Holy Spirit. I hope that all of you will look around with a little tolerance on those who disagree with you on word study. Because I've heard a lot of it in here, on word study. And to me, it's Isaiah, the 28th chapter. I want to go to a couple more scriptures and I'm going to quit because I'm getting tired. Let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. I get into this all the time. I did it to preach this last year because I realized that we think we save ourselves by what we do. No one in this room is going to be in the kingdom of God by his own efforts. And I want you to think about that. And if you disagree with me, we'll meet someplace else out here, because I'll talk about it. Let's go to chapter 2. But verse 4, you can start from verse 1. I'm going to skip down. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his grace and love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made alive together with Christ, by grace you are saved. That's added in my Bible when I look at it. And raised up together and made us together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. That is, the age to come might show the exceeding riches of his grace. His kindness reward us in Jesus Christ. Here's what I want to get to. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. You know, you don't have anything to do with your calling. God has predetermined those that he's calling for the first resurrection. And it says, by grace yourself and not of yourself. It's not anything that you do to earn salvation. You have to repent. That's true. And you have to believe on Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. That's true. But it's God who does the calling. And it's God who is involved. For we as work, not by works, lest any man boast. We want to thank because we're doing so great. But that's why we're going to be in the kingdom of God. That has nothing to do with it. For his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to good works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's what it's all about. Good works. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them beforehand. I can go to another scripture and go to Revelation 13, chapter verse 8, and you can read that later. Let's go to Romans. Romans 8. Start in verse 1. There is now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made men free from the law of sin and death. Now Jesus Christ paid the price for our salvation. We can't earn salvation. We need to obey what he does. But we don't earn it. He has paid the price for those that God has called. Now I want to go, because this is a long chapter, and you might have a chance to read all of this chapter. I want to go to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings and cannot be uttered. You know, God has somebody, the Holy Spirit, who groans for us and tells God what we really need to tell him, that we love him. Verse 27, now he also searches the hearts and knows what mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. The calling has to be there. We can't go and come to Christ without that calling. That has to be there. I call calls and works to the family. Some of you children are hearing this out there. If your parents are converted and keeping the Sabbath day, you're probably going to be called too. But you're not going to be baptized until the time that you can get old enough to it, because we don't believe in infant baptism. And the Catholic Church doesn't know what baptism is anyway, because it's not sprinkling. If they understand the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they would understand baptism. They don't. Now that's God hasn't called them yet. For he, and we know that all things work to the good for those who love God, those who are called according to this purpose. For he whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. However, whom he predestined, these he also called. Think about that. God knew it before the world ever began who he was going to call for the first resurrection.
Now, he's going to call the whole world before it's over. I guarantee you. They're going to get a chance. He also justifies those he shall, and these also he glorifies. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I enjoy that scripture. I don't depend on anyone in this room for my salvation. I depend only on what God has done and that Jesus Christ has done and the things that he has done. He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with himself also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Think about that. It is God who justifies. Whom shall he condemn? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Whom even the right hand of God, he also makes intercession for us all. Whom shall separate us? I want you to get this scripture. From the love of Christ. Shall tribulation? Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of the word, as it is written. For your sakes we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But all these things were more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded. Get this scripture and memorize it. For I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities or powers or anything present or things to come nor heights or depths nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's God and Jesus Christ telling us that we can't be separated from him. Those that God has called are going to be in the kingdom of God. I've heard people get up and say, if I make it. Well, if you're trying saying that you're making on your efforts, I don't agree with it. If you're saying you hope that you live by his laws till the end of death, that's something else. But I want you all to think about the differences that we had this morning in Bible study. We read the scriptures and Mark's been doing that for years. I want you to think about what is your contribution and what are you trying to do in what you believe? Are you trying to convince somebody that you're right and everybody else is wrong? I don't think so. I don't think there's a person in here to that. But I want to tell you something. If we think that we're going to get everybody in this room to agree, we can't even agree in this room on some very fundamental scripture. And if you're thinking that I cannot be with a group of people because they don't agree with me, you need to go into the Jewish temple. You need to go in places where they don't keep the Sabbath day. I went to the Seventh-day Adventist church where I had so far to drive, 125 miles, to get to the Living Church of God. It was the closest thing from Panama City. And I went to this Church of God, that being the Seventh-day Adventist, until they started preaching on the 2300 days. I knew that scripture, knew what it meant 50 years ago. You know, then it's Christmas time. That's the last time I've been there. They're keeping Christmas. And I asked the lady, when did you start? She was the one handling a lot of this stuff. I said, when did you start keeping Christmas? Why do you keep it? It's for the children. And I answered to her as well, one of these days they're going to say, I've got to check this Jesus Christ out because you lied to me about when he was born. It went over her head like a but I've been back since I'm going back. I refuse. I would rather be at home playing a CD-ROM that I get from several churches and playing that and listen to it at home. The day's going to come when I can't drive a car. I hope not today, and I hope not next week. But that day might come. And when it does, that's when I will stay at home. And hopefully
God will forgive me for not going to church. It isn't because I don't want to. It's because in this particular instance I'm talking about, I can't. God bless all of you, and God bless America, and God bless our Savior, Jesus the Christ.